Now, can you hear me? Okay. My battery may be weak too, but if it is, I'll stop real quick and change here. Just holler when you lose me and I'll come back. And so, Junior said, I thought you said that calf belonged to that old calf. Well, he said, it does, Junior. He said, I know it does. He said, I gave it to her myself. So these thoughts that I'm giving in these messages, and if there's any richness about them, they're yours. Amen. I know that I gave them to you myself. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just trust the Lord will just register them in your spirit. Glory to God, and that you will just be feasting on glory to God for a while to come. Amen. But there's three things. I just want to mention three things. There are probably more, but I want to preach on three things that destroy our compassion. All right? Desire, deeds, and distance. Now, that's another three-point outline. Let's get that down in. Oh, boy, you just can just preach from now on. Amen. On desire, deeds, and distance, destroy our compassion. Okay, let's see how close I can stay with that outline. Amen. I usually take a text and preach from it. Never do come back. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 But desire for things will destroy your compassion. I cannot overemphasize that. Because that's what's got a lot of us shot down, is a desire for things. Amen. I can name you a dozen preachers that are out of the ministry today because the ministry just didn't give them enough money to satisfy their lust for things. Sometimes it was the preacher, sometimes it was their wives. They just wouldn't be satisfied on a little Pentecostal preacher's salary. Amen. But you love things, the love of the Father is not in you. Amen. The love of things is fatal. It is absolutely fatal to your spiritual man, spiritual well-being. Amen. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said friendship with the world was enmity against God. I looked the word enmity up. It means a hostile act. You know, we thought when Russia put the missiles in Cuba, that was a hostile act. Boy, Kennedy, he blockaded that thing off and shut her down. Amen. Castro's just about the last one of them communists left. I'm waiting for him to go. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. But desire for things. Amen. Hallelujah. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Amen. That's the truth. Friend, I'm down anywhere in love with this world. We've got a fascination with the world. Amen. It's got us just mesmerized. We're hypnotized. We can't seem to shake off the lethargy that's in us because of the world. See, because iniquity is abounding. Jesus said, the love of many will wax cold. We're in that very hour, in that very time. Amen. Hallelujah. When the love of many, your zeal for the Lord languishes. Amen. I'll go through the house telling Mama, Mama, we've got to get stirred. Oh, I just feel it just paralyzing me. I can't move. I can't rejoice in the Lord. I can't get excited about going to church and the things of God. We need to be touched by the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible said, wine, whoredoms, and new wine take away the heart. I believe that's in the book of Amos. Maybe it's in the book of Hosea. But it said, wine, whoredoms, and new wine take away the heart. Then you show me some old boy that spent his life in a beer joint, chasing and women and running around on his wife. I'll show you a fella that don't care a flip of his finger about his family or his kids. I'm telling you, all he think about is that alcohol. Amen. He just got an alcohol mentality. Amen. All he think about is getting that next fix and that next drink and that next to on down the line. Amen. He does not care one thing about his family, his children, or his responsibilities. Amen. Well, the book said, wine, whoredoms, and new wine take away your heart, take away your ability to love. Amen. So be careful. And I'll tell you something else. We're living in a materialistic world when everybody is out to get their part of it, get their share. Amen. Get out there and get ours. Amen. Right? Amen. And I'll tell you, they don't care who they overcharge. Well, back when, oh, quite a while back, Brother Walmer, when I was out out of Plainview, probably long about that time. You remember that meeting? I don't know, 74, 75, quite a while back. Amen. But I had no 71 Chevrolet, neither you joined in it. So I went out to Chevrolet house on the circle out there at Lubbock, big old Chevrolet place, and they wanted $18 for a U-joint for that Chevrolet station wagon. Well, went out to a little town called Abernathy. They had a little country Chevrolet house out there. Amen. So I priced it out there in the country at Abernathy. The Chevrolet house in Abernathy wanted $12 for theirs. Same item, exactly. Amen. So I went across the street there in Abernathy and bought one for $6. It was a good Spicer U-joint. Amen. I went on down to Midland, Texas, and my old buddy down there in the garage, he said, Brother Reed, I buy those U-joints for $3 all day long. Amen. I buy them anytime I want them for $3. Amen. And I know the fella that sold them to him had to make a little money on them. Amen. Hobba had a dollar and a half in it, maybe $2. Amen. And I exclaimed, I said, why would somebody want to charge me $18 for something they had about a dollar and a half in? It was exorbitant. It was unreal. Amen. I said, what's happening? Amen. And one fella said, Brother Gibson, it is just anything the traffic will stand. Just anything the traffic will stand. Amen. And church, if you're not careful, you get caught up in that same spirit. You won't care who you overcharge or who you extort money from, just as long as you have your wall-to-wall carpet and your central air conditioner. And when you get that way, you'll shut down. Glory to God. Help us. I said some fellas wouldn't sell to their mama if they couldn't make a profit on it. Amen. I like that cartoon I saw one time. This little motorcycle cop had this old lady pulled over in his car and was riding her up. He said, I don't care who you know in City Hall, mother. Amen. Amen. So if old Tim ever pulls you over, Brother Wampler, look out. Amen. If he does, just tell us. I mean, we'll take care of him. I mean, it'll be a dark night. And, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But they will not care. Amen. And you won't care just as long as you get yours. Amen. That's one thing old Brother Allen and Brother Keith and Brother Hart My pastors over in Tulsa, when I started out, Brother Reed said, never be caught using God's people. Amen. You know, there's some people, I'm telling you, they just tell you a story just to get your money. And they, I'll tell you, it's exorbitant. I don't have time to tell this, but I was in Nacogdoches, Texas the other day. I preached a week at First Assembly, Sunday through Friday night, and they gave me $900. I thought that's a pretty good check. Amen. And so, but this one old boy, he come down to one of the other churches over there. Amen. And he stayed for a Sunday. Amen. And he raised $60,000. There's about 250 people there. He raised $60,000 to pay off the church indebtedness. And he raised the pastor an offering. I forgot how many hundred dollars he got for that, several thousand dollars for the pastor. And his check for that weekend was $11,900. Amen. But he got his big projects going. And now, saints, I just can't do it unless y'all help me. And so they began to write out the $1,000 checks. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you this. I was happy with my $900. That's what the folks wanted to give me. Amen. I thought it was fair. Glory to God. Nobody was exorbitant. Amen. What am I trying to say? Amen. They wasn't taking advantage of. Hallelujah. They gave me what they wanted them to have. Amen. What God spoke to their heart. Amen. I didn't have to lie to you. Amen. To get it. See? Amen. You don't use, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, I don't want to be in his shoes when he faces God. Amen. I'm telling you. Because he's not going to use all that $11,900 on that project he told him he's going to use it on. Amen. He's going to take it and pay the payment on that Rolls Royce he's driving. I know my daughter rode in the Rolls Royce. I want her to ride my Rolls Royce. Okay. Amen. I'm telling you, don't use God's people. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Remember that, Jeff. Amen. Of course, I never did have to exaggerate my need. Amen. I always had plenty of needs. Lord, how did I get off on that? Oh, Lord. Glory, 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 glory to God. I like what you said. You're not obligated to give. We want you to give because you want. Hallelujah. If we haven't blessed you, forget it. Amen. That's what I always like. Wait till after the service. I'm just going to be there for one service. Wait till the end of the service. Amen. Well, they'll leave. I don't care. Just wait. Amen. The end of the service. If I don't bless them, they don't owe me nothing. Hallelujah. If I bless them, they'll want to give me something. They'll want to bless me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, help me. Why to get off on that? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, if you're not careful, you know, you really, preachers get caught up in it. I mean, none of us are exempt. You're not exempt, saint. Amen. You'll have a chance one time to overcharge if you want to. Amen. And put something in there that doesn't belong. Right. Amen. We just got to watch. Now, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you. That's kind of shouting, but if you listen to me, you'll get to where you can shout, amen, and you won't be ashamed when you stand before God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you've been honest and above board, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Well, you know, things, you know. You know, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Amen. Then I read where God loved the world. And I thought, well, that looks like a discrepancy, a contradiction to this Oklahoma computer. They programmed this computer back in Oklahoma about 63 years ago or started on it, amen. And when I said, God loved the world, amen, then tell me not to love the world, and I wonder what's wrong. Kind of like a contradiction, amen. That God loved the world and then told me not to love the world. Love not the world. Neither the things of the world. Amen. See? Well, I finally realized what he was talking about. In 1 John, the second chapter, he's talking about the things of the world. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. But in John 3:16, he's talking about whosoever. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, two complete different things. Amen. You get your mind on things, you'll forget about the whosoever. Amen. So that's what the devil offered Jesus. He said, all these things I'll give you. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus said, I didn't come to this earth for things, amen. I come here for whosoever's. That's what I came for, was whosoever's. Hallelujah. And you get your mind on things, you'll forget about whosoever's, amen. And you forget about whosoever's, you're shot down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've lost your compassion because you got your mind on things. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll rob you. It'll rob you. I'll never forget. I've always owed everybody I met a lot of people I didn't. In the realm of finances, I'm more or less what you would call a disaster area. And I've chased the promise of big money so many times. I couldn't tell you. Amen. Until one day I was down in Lampasas, Texas. And old Don Lunsford was building about $1.5 million building up in Colorado Springs, up on top of one of those mountains. And he said, Brother Reed, if you will come up and coordinate the contracts for me, you know, and be in charge, be my building superintendent, and maybe build a few cabinets for me. You know, I'm an old nail bender. Yeah, I am a carpenter. You know, I've got talents. You know, this ain't just another pretty face. And so he said, Brother Reed, I'll give you 7.5 an hour, amen, which would give me $300 a week for 40 hours. And then I could go out and preach on the weekend, maybe pick up another $100, you know. And maybe in about 10 weeks, I'd have me about $4,000, you know, which is not all the money in the world. I realize that. Amen. But it would give me enough, you know, to kind of catch up and kind of, you know, get out of the tide I was in. Amen. And so I thought I'll do that, you know. Amen. You know, really, preachers need to pay the bills. We really do. I understand that. God knows I do. Amen. Hallelujah. But sometimes you can't. They sent me an application one time, an old boy that you know, he gave me as a reference. Amen. And said, well, this preacher pays bills. I said, sure, if he's got the money. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they gave him his papers back, too. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'd all pay him if we had the money, wouldn't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I went by this very place. This is back about 1972, I guess, long time ago, nearly 20 years ago now. Amen. But the other day, Sister Gibson and I went by this place in Lampasas, Texas. I said, baby, I said, right there on that parking lot of that cafe, God spoke to my heart about 9 o'clock one Thursday morning. Boy, you remember those places, don't you? Yeah. You know, the time, if you're not careful, the time and the date will get away from you, but the place never gets away from you. Boy, I can take you to a place. Oh, give the Lord a hand. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. gone there for breakfast that morning, and I was praying, Lord, what am I going to do about this job that this Brother Lunsford has offered me up in Colorado? And he said, well, Brother Reed, you can do whatever you want to about it. I thought that was generous of him because he usually said, or else. But this day he said, well, you can do whatever you want to about it. But he said, I want you to know something before you go. I said, okay. And that's the reason I know it was Thursday morning is because they had the Royal Rangers there on Wednesday night. And they about had a good Royal Ranger group, about 25 or 30 of them. And there's a beautiful little old dark-headed boy, big old dark luminous eyes, just a proper child. He about 10 years old, I guess. And I knelt down there by him, and boy, I prayed him through the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost. Amen. That night. Several of them did, but this little boy I was praying with, I just singled him out. He was so beautiful. And I haven't heard from him since, but in my spirit, I just know that that little boy is in the ministry somewhere today, 20 years later, 19 years later. I know it's just something you feel. You know, I know that God touched that little boy that night. So he said to me, he said, Reed, he said, you can do whatever you want to do about that big money up in Colorado. I said, before you go, I want you to know something. Said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to know? He said, well, you know that little boy that you helped get the Holy Ghost last night? He said, yeah. He said, if you hadn't have been here, that he wouldn't have got the Holy Ghost. You know, now I'm smart enough to know that there's some things going to happen if I never get there. I know that. But God let me know that this happened because I was there. Hallelujah. And that was my answer. I said, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what. Amen. If you will just bless me and meet my need and let me preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And give me a whosoever every once in a while to go to heaven with me. I'm going to let all these other fellows have all that big money that they want. Hallelujah. I'm going to go for the whosoever's. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Desire for things will destroy your compassion. Deeds will destroy your compassion. The way people treat you sometimes. You know it. If you're not careful, you'll want to. It's kind of tit for tat. You know, they hit your dog, you want to hit their cat. Amen. You want to get even with them. You want to get even with them. You want to retaliate. Is there any retaliation in you tonight? Oh, that's good preaching. Oh, it ain't going to get much better than that, folks. Amen. But I studied the scripture out in the book of Psalms where it said, my heart melted like wax. It was a description of Jesus on the cross, you know, when he was dying. And what that really means, that when his heart melted in him, he said, there was no more retaliation left in him. Oh, I said, Lord, like that. That's what I want you to do for me. Oh, take all the retaliation out of my spirit. Oh, God, I don't want to fight back. I want to be like you. When you suffered, amen. And when he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, Peter said. Hallelujah. But his secret was he had committed himself to the Lord. That's where your victory will be. Committing yourself to the Lord, knowing that he's going to take care of it for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I had an old preacher friend up in Colorado. He'd always wanted an Airstream trailer. He was single. His wife had died. He was out holding revival. you're praying where an Airstream's headed. Every time you see an Airstream headed, you say, like that, Lord, like that one right there. That's the kind I want, right, that Airstream, like that, Lord, like that. And so when I come across this where Jesus, you know, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Led as a sheep to the slaughter, lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is done. So he opened not his mouth. I come across that place in the scripture where they stoned Stephen to death. He, looking up, his face shined as though it had been the face of an angel, and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I said, like that, Lord, like that, right there, like that. Right there, like that, like that. By the way, he got an Airstream trailer. Yeah, because he told the Lord, like that, Lord, like that. And if you go for this, you can get this. Oh, God's looking for people tonight that can forgive and let it drop. Yeah, and won't let it, no matter how they treat you, won't make any difference the way you feel. Amen. Glory to God. You can get in one accord, you know. Don't make no difference to anybody else in one accord or not. You get in one accord with yourself, you'll be in one accord. I get this. We down in that Brownfield church out in Texas, they there's a fighting devil in that church, I'm telling you. This one old deacon, the pastor said, we're gonna apologize this morning to each other and we're gonna make up. He stood up and said, God showed me I wasn't going to apologize to nobody. I said, I'd have wish one time God would speak to me like that. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, when God speaks to me, he said, hey, go make that right with your brother. Amen. Kind of like old Brother Keith down in Tulsa, him and Sister Keith had had a fuss one morning. He goes out to get in his car and he slams that door as he goes out. Get in his car and the Holy Ghost said, you go back and shut that door right. He went back to the back door. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. And so he said, let's make up. And the pastor told him, said, well, brother, I'm sorry if I've offended you. So I want you to forgive me. He said, I ain't gonna do it. Said, you told the presbyter I was a troublemaker. Amen. He said, I'm not going to forgive you. You go make that right, that presbyter, and tell him that I'm not a troublemaker. Well, it was terrible. It was bad. Of course, everybody just kind of overlooked it because it's been there so long, you know, and they just learned to work with it, going around it. Amen. About half of them mad at the other half, you know, and they're all mad at the preacher. You know how that gets. Well, God moved through that mess one night. At Sunday night, we had six filled with the Holy Ghost one Sunday night. And old Gene Watson, he wasn't there, but he come back. He an old Dutchman, old good old hard-working country boy out there in West Texas, a welder, and runs the maintainer there for Brownfield City now and works for the city. God, he's sweet, man, got a sweet family. And so, but that Monday night, he comes in and he gets the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so as he gets the Holy Ghost, we ask him to testify. Oh, he was crying one, but the Lord just melted him down. You know, you get full of the Holy Ghost, you get sweet. Yeah. Amen. And you lose the Holy Ghost, you've got to repent. That's what they said on the day of Pentecost. So how are we going to do? They said, men and brethren, what are we going to do to get the Holy Ghost? He said, repent. You know, if you repent, the Holy Ghost will come back. And you won't have to be bitter all your life. It's sweetening you up. So old Gene that night, he said, Oh, we ask him text, oh, he said, I've got the most wonderfulest wife. And he said, I have got the most wonderfulest in-laws. And he said, this is the most wonderfulest church. And they just been fighting like cats and dogs. Amen. And I thought to myself, you know, amen. He was in one accord, brother. He got one accord. It didn't make any difference what everybody else was doing. Glory to God. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, Lord. Get me in one accord with myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. That's blessed me every time I see old Zena, I tell you. Amen. Amen. He come down to Tracy's funeral the other day, him and his wife. I said, where's the big ugly one? I was talking about his daddy-in-law. He said, she's in the women's room. No wonder you're having trouble at home, Gene. Amen. I said, I wasn't talking about your pretty woman. I was talking about your daddy-in-law. And we laughed about that. Amen. Hallelujah. He's sweetheart. Sweetheart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One of my all-time favorite stories. Is about this old preacher who was touring the army bases and said he come across a soldier that it was just as bright and shining as it was possible for a saved soldier to be. And he asked him, he said, Sergeant, he said, could you tell me the circumstances around your conversion? He said, yeah, I'd be glad to. He said, in an old Highland regiment I used to be in, said there was a fellow there that loved the Lord. Man, he had the goods. Amen. He was a Christian. In a barracks full of unsaved men, he would read his devotion at night out of his Bible, and then he would turn on his knee and pray audibly there by his bed before he would retire. 30 unsaved soldiers looking up. Well, they nicknamed him Preacher. If they had a joke to pull, a practical joke, he was the butt of all their practical jokes. They loved to get in his presence and tell some filthy story just to see his face turn red and he'd just shuffle out, you know, of their presence. Amen. And they lived it. Amen. He just lived it before. Amen. And old Sarge said, one day we'd been out in the field all day. We'd marched 50 minutes and rested 10 all day long with a full field pattern. And said it had rained that day. And said it was muddy and we had slipped. Said we'd take two steps up and slide back one. Boy, it was. And said by the time I finally got back to the barracks that night, he said, I was completely exhausted. He said, I just pulled my old wet field boots off my feet, which was wet and heavy with mud, and just fell in my, didn't even bother to pull my fatigues off, just fell across my cot and tried to go to sleep. And said, just about the time I started to drift off to sleep, said, here started old preacher with his prayer. And he said, I'll tell you the truth. I never had anything that irritated me like that in all my life. You know, it's not the noise that irritates us. It's the kind of noise. See, a football crowd wouldn't bother. A baseball crowd wouldn't bother us down a bit. But you let a bunch of holy rollers get together and get shouting past midnight, you see how come they're quick to come see about you. Amen. See, it's not the noise that irritates it. It's the kind of noise. He said, I picked up one of my field boots that was wet and heavy with mud and said, boy, across the barracks and said, hit old preacher on the face. Said it dropped to the floor and said he just kept praying. said, that infuriated me all the more. I said, I picked the other one up and said, let him have it too. I said, finally, you know, I just fell off into a deep sleep. Early the next morning when I woke up, about 5 o'clock, he said, sitting at the foot of my bed, said, I found my boots. He said, they had been cleaned and beautifully polished. And he said, that was the old preacher's answer to me. And he said, it broke my heart. I got saved that day. Woo! Distance will destroy your compassion. Amen. Distance. The way people treat you, desire for things of the world, the way people treat you, get the best of it if you're not careful. I'm telling you. That's why we need to appreciate one. Appreciate. We need to appreciate our preacher. Amen. There's nothing makes a preacher any harder for him to do his best and then somebody criticizing him. It doesn't take much criticism, boy. Just the old strength just goes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you something else that takes it out of him. When he sees somebody in the congregation, you know, people get, you know, crossways with each other. Boy, it hurts. I'm telling you, I've had them come to me, you know, and they want to talk about somebody else. But okay, I'll listen to you, but I want you to know something before you start. What is it? I said, I'm just as much his pastor as I am yours. And what have you got to say? Amen. Always takes a little bit of the sting out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I learned that the pastor's first job, you know what it is? It's not preaching. It's not visiting the hospitals. It's not praying. You know what his first job is? Protection of this flock. Protection. Amen. When I was pastoring and I have some preachers come in and fill my pulpit and start taking my little old bunch apart, I'm telling you, it's just something akin to an animal would just rise up in me. I said, hey, buddy, you don't know what they've been through today. You don't know where they're coming from. Amen. Boy, you just protection. Amen. That's the first job. Hallelujah. It's protection. In mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So distance. Distance. You know, this is why people get divorced. They fuss, you know, and then they won't make up. Before they get made up, they'll have another fuss, and that distance grows. And the first thing you know, they get such a gap there that it can't be bridged. This is why I said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. You ever get mad at your wife and go out and sleep on a divan? I'm over your head again, ain't I? Hey. Well, she'll get mad at you, you know, and she'll go sleep on the divan. Amen. Amen. I was up in a singles class. Amen. One time, and they said, "What is the most wonderful thing about fussing?" And I said, "Making up." No, brother Gibson. Said this one fellow told me, said, the last thing my wife wants from me when she's mad at me is a romantic overture. I said, well, want it or not, that's what Sister Gibson always gets, is a romantic overture. You know, it don't make no difference which one wakes up first. If she wakes up first, she'll come and give me a romantic overture. If I wake up first, I'll go to her. I said, hey, baby, it's so bed so empty. I didn't mean more. I said, come on, baby. Let me curl around. Amen. Let's sleep. Right? Right? Oh, yes. Amen. See, so no matter whatever, you know, she wanted, she always got a romantic overture. If I couldn't talk her out of it, I would talk her into it. Amen. Amen. I come in at a hard day and I say, make the world go away. Get it off my shoulders. Say the thing you used to say. Make the world go away. That's what a woman's for, man. Take you in her sweet arms and the world will go away. I'm telling you. Amen. See, marriage was intended to be the most tendering of all experiences. I've got a little marriage ceremony that said marriage has never fallen. It's what of paradise is left over to soothe and comfort man in this sinful state. Amen. I believe that. It's a heaven on earth. If married people would let it be like God intended for it to be, it would be a paradise. It'd be a heaven on earth. Amen. If you would let it be like God intended for it to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. But then if marriage, it doesn't become the most tendering experience, then it becomes the most bitter. I've been a fight and cuss over the kids. We're gonna get the kids. Little old kids just sitting there being torn apart. And divorce hadn't hit your house, it will. Just give it time. My youngest son is my divorced, and I swear I love his wife almost as much as I loved him. Now I know how them two little boys feel. Oh, Grandpa, tell me about it. Hey, man, I'm 60 years old and can't cope with it. How can an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old boy cope with something like that, you tell me? God, help us, help us. God, you've got to help us. God, you have got to do something for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, you know. They say, well, absent. Like, you know, I was married for 26 years, first time. And me and that woman was never apart but 5 nights. And that's when I went to hold a revival. And I told the Lord I wouldn't do that for anybody but you. Well, they say, well, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I said, yeah, of somebody else. There was an old boy wrote his girlfriend a letter every day for a year, and at the end of the year, she married the postman. Hey, man. Well, I don't blame her, do you? Hey, man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you know, in dealing with our children, amen, we'll let a distance get between us if we're not careful. And wholeness, folks, we're the worst in the world for having ourselves a standard. You know, we've got us a standard, and we want, bless God, everybody live by our standard, or we're going to know the reason why. Right? Especially preachers. Man, we preachers, I'm telling you, we've got a reputation, we've got the ministry, we've got a lot of things to think about. So there was always two things I couldn't stand. One of them was pantsuits on women, and the other one was long hair on boys. Oh, I hate it. Amen. I finally got to where I had to say, well, it looks good from back here too, Mom. They call them slacks, but I never did see anything slack about them. Said there was skin tight. I said, no, there's tighter than her skin. She could sit down her skin. She couldn't sit down in them. Who helped you get into them things? I know you couldn't get into them. Somebody would pick you up and shake you. Amen. Always tell them my kids that. Well, I guess that's why they don't come to see me. But I remember when the long hair started coming in. Now, I didn't have any trouble with my older boy, my younger boy, but my middle boy, Randy, the one that just lost this little boy of his. And he had that long red hair. Boy, he let it get as long as old Bill's hair. I mean, it might have been a little bit longer than Bill's. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And so we had, Mama was up in Chicago, or Cary, Indiana, First Assembly. And it's long about Thanksgiving time, and the boys were in Tulsa. They were out holding revivals on their own. And so it was about, I don't know what it from Tulsa to Gary, Indiana, to Chicago, 700 miles, 800 miles, something like that. But they'd driven 800 miles just to be with us, just to be with me and Mama. You know, if we get where Daddy and Mama is, we'll get some encouragement. Amen. Well, by this time, old Randy, I resented that long hair so bad. Amen. That I just couldn't leave him alone. Every time I'd go by, get the haircut, set up straight, put your shirt tail in, pull those stinking tennis shoes off, you know. Amen. And we couldn't have any fellowship on account of my holiness standard, you know. If your holiness standard don't have some compassion in it, you better ditch it and get you one that's got some understanding in it. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. See, because a teenage boy has got enough storm raging down inside him, you know, to sink a battleship. Amen. Now, he comes to Daddy, somebody who's supposed to love him. Amen. And share his problem with him. Amen. And he finds that door closed. Let me tell you, it can put him down with a count. I mean, it can put him under to where he'll never surface again. Amen. Here's another one. You ever hear this one? Long as you sleep on a morrow, but your feet on a mop table. Well, why don't you try that on the fella you work with down there? Why don't you try it on your woman, see how far you get with it? Well, if you wouldn't try it on a grown-up, why would you try it on a little old tow-headed kid? That all he wants to do is grow up and be exactly like you. You are his idol. Amen. And then you just run over him roughshod, without any feeling. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it'll drive him out the wall. Go ahead and be the big shot, but one of these days he's going to be tall enough to reach the knob on that door, and when he does, he's going to go out, and it's going to be a while before you see. Amen. I know we need to be firm, but we don't need to be overbearing. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So it was up in this church in Gary, Indiana. They had a $115,000 heating unit in it. That's just how big it was. Had 3 acres of parking, paved parking. And here they come across it. He had on this new ratness suit. Had that hair shine, but it was bouncing off his shoulder, you know. Had on those stupid high heel shoes. Amen. It's good shoes. You get $40 or $50 for them, but they had those high heels on them. Amen. Well, they come walking in. Just be there with me and Mama, see? And so I said, boy, you sure look sharp, dude. He said, just call me Mr. Studs. I said, looked around behind his head, and I said, are you sure it isn't Mrs. Dad? See how clever that is? Amen. Amen. We always got to know that we've got a holiness standard, you know. We got to know that we don't approve of some things that they do. Amen. And all he had done was come up there to have some fellowship with me. And then I had to get on his case, see. And those high heel shoes. Well, by this time, see, he couldn't do anything to please. See, he couldn't have stood on his head and tried to stack BBs and please me because I was such a state of mind that he wouldn't do what I said about the hair. And so, boy, it would just broke our fellowship. Amen. You know, we just pick. You get started picking like a bunch of chickens, you know. Did you ever see chickens pick one another? I've seen them pick the tail feathers out. I've seen them until their entrails fall out. I've seen them until they fall over dead, and they just get them with the entrails, just drag them around the pens. Pick. Right? Just pick. I went up to Yuma, Colorado. My oldest boy was holding revival up there, got there just as church was over, and he said, Dad, about half of that church was mad at the other half, and they was all mad at the preacher. And boy, he was trying to get them quieting down. And he said, Dad said, I used the illustration about the chickens picking one another. He'd heard me say it before. And when he said that, the Holy Ghost told me something. And I said, Rusty, do you know why chickens pick one another? He said, no, Dad. Why? I said, because there is a deficiency in their diet. Amen. They've been feeding on the wrong thing. You just pick, criticize, backbite one another. And mama, you've been feeding on the wrong thing. There's a deficiency in your diet. You need to get back to this. Sitting down front like I always do, up singing, you know, trying to show everybody how spiritual I was, trying to get in the spirit. And the Holy Ghost said, hey, that was one of my little saints you missed out there. I want you to go apologize to them. The one thing about me, the Lord, he always has helped me to go to him when I realized that I was doing, had hurt him. So I went back. I said, well, Lord, if you'll just make room in this service, I'll flat do. They said, all right, so they took the prayer request, and he was standing right about back here. And so, boy, by this time, I was just melted completely down. He was standing up, the old 6 foot tall. That red hair had been, you know, manicured and shampooed. Pretty. I said, hey, babe, I'm sorry what I said about your hair. I want you to know that I love every strand of that red hair on your head. And I said this to him, and I thought about it the other day when we buried it, Lord. I prophesied to him. I said, one of these days you're going to have a little boy. And he did. And he said, I hope that you'll be sweeter to him than I have been to you. Oh, he said, Dad, good night. He said, I'd think there's something wrong with you if you wasn't hollering at me. He had 10,000 times more of the Spirit of Christ than I did. Just let it drop, Dad. Oh, Dad, just let it drop. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. And from that day to this, I've had a natural pity in my heart for every long-haired boy I ever met. Amen. Or ever see. I see him pass me on the freeway on their motorcycle, that helmet on and that long hair just flying out my head. I said, oh, God, help that idiot to get home to his mama. And amen. Or I see him standing by the road wanting to hitch a ride, you know. Amen. I pray for him as I go by. I still don't have enough victory to stop and get him in my car. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I tell you, God, help me to overcome. Overcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I preached this one time over in a camp meeting over by Tulsa, out there on the riverbank. An old man about 60, 65 years old followed me out to my car weeping. He had lost a couple of his boys. Said, Brother Reed, I wish I'd have heard you preach that message about 20 years ago. Amen. He had no sooner gone on his way till about a 14-year-old boy. I was standing out there by my car loading my instruments or something. And the little old boy, the little old teenage boy just fell into my arms and began to weep and sob. And he said, Brother Reed, you made me feel like there was some hope for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And our message is supposed to inspire hope. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You can be helped tonight. You don't have to be like that. You can lay that down if you want to. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something else. If God ever gave me, and I'm quitting preaching. Well, preach too long, haven't I? Haven't I? Are you sure? We'll wait and see how the offering is tomorrow night. We'll find out. Well, let me tell you this and then we'll go. But God gave me a word of wisdom. If I ever laid claim to a word of wisdom, God gave me this. You see, he said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Didn't say he would depart from it and come back to it. Said he wouldn't depart. See, so if he departs, then it means that you didn't do your job right. If you've got unsaved children tonight, it means you didn't do your job. All right. I've heard him say, I don't know what matter that kid. Good night, me and Mom talking church, and we've done our thing we know how to do. No, you didn't. You'd have done everything. You'd still been serving God. Hallelujah. See? And it's not fair. You see, when you say that, you put the whole blame over on his shoulders. And God knows it's not all his fault. And you take that kind of a know-it-all spiritual attitude, and you just drive him a little bit. I'm talking about distance. You'll drive him just a little bit farther away. But if you've got enough Jesus in you and enough of God, and you're man enough and woman enough to take your part of the blame. Because God said, I said, if you'd have done it, he wouldn't depart from it. See, your kids won't be what you tell them to be. They'll be what you are. You want to know what you are? Look at your kids. Wisdom is justified over children. Hallelujah. here's what you do. See. You go to them. You take them in your arms, first thing. And you embrace them. And you say something like this. Sweetheart, if I'd been the kind of daddy I was supposed to be, you wouldn't be in the kind of trouble that you're in. And I love you so much. And I miss you so much. I'm telling you, that old house, it's not the same without you. I yearn for you. I long for you. And I tell you what, baby, would you just get my hand and let's go back to the altar of God and see if we can't get this thing straightened out. See, he'll come with you. But if you take that old attitude like you've done everything you know to do, don't do that. For God's sake, don't do that. Get enough of God about you and enough of the Holy Ghost in you, amen, that you can take your responsibility in them. And it'll work. God, I'm telling you, if you've got what it takes, God, you can win your children yet to this day. You can do it. I was in Duncan, Oklahoma. Lady come up after church. She said, Brother Reed, my daughter's been gone for 2 years. She's living in a hippie commune in Denver, Colorado. I said, she'll be home in 2 weeks if you'll do what I tell you to do. If you'll do what I tell you to do, she'll come home. I said, you go home tonight and you sit down. Let God tell you what to say, but you say something like this. Hi, baby. Oh, I miss you so much. I love you. Oh, darling, the home is so empty. I just lay awake at night wondering where you are, thinking about you, missing you with all my heart. Amen. Baby, and I'm sorry, you know, if I'd have been the kind of mama that I really should have been. God knows you wouldn't be in the trouble you're in today, baby. Please come on. That girl's home in 2 weeks. I mean, I've helped dozens of folks with this problem. I'm telling you, God, that is a word of wisdom. I'm telling you, it's a word of wisdom. It'll work. See? The Bible said love never fails. Would you want something that works every time? Try this. It never fails. Compassion never fails. I don't know why it's always the last thing we try. We always have to say something clever first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's stand. Come, Scott, play something. Cheryl, let's play The Love of God in two flats of greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. Goes beyond the high star, reaches to the lowest hell. Sorry I kept you so long tonight, but I'm going to keep you just a little bit longer. I want to tell you this. I went to the Pentecostal World Conference in Dallas some years ago. It was on a Saturday night, and Brother Zimmerman had introduced Brother David Wilkerson. In fact, he had used about 3 or 4 minutes or five introducing David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson, I guess he was a little impatient to get to the pulpit because he never even acknowledged Brother Zimmerman's introduction. He went directly to the pulpit, laid his Bible down on the pulpit, and he opened his sermon with this statement. He said, if the Church of Jesus Christ loses this generation of young people, she will not lose them to drugs or illicit sex or X-rated movies or pornographic literature. He said, if the church loses this generation of young people, she will lose them because she did not love them. before him. Come on. It's getting late. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Can ever tell? It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pay bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child. Say.